Following program is paid for by the Cadillac Foundation.
It's time for Cadillac On Call on News Radio 610 KONA. It's your chance to learn valuable health information right here in our community. Now, the host of Cadillac On Call, here's Jim Hall.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Cadillac On Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. Each week, we are here to share with you, our listeners, the latest health news and information important to our communities. We come to you today on the eve of an incredibly meaningful community event focused on supporting cancer patients and cancer care in the region. It's the annual Cancer Crushing Breakfast presented by the Cadillac Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation. Hundreds of community residents will gather at the Three Rivers Convention Center to celebrate, remember, and honor patients enduring cancer, those who have passed away from cancer, and those who provide the compassionate care to patients throughout our community. On our program tonight, we'll hear from cancer survivors, cancer volunteers, and friends involved in generating important financial support for programs that are so vital to oncology care. Our first guest is Lori Kelly. Lori is the Senior Vice President and Chief Philanthropy Officer at Providence, the parent company of Cadillac, and a family of organizations that serves more than 50 communities in the western United States with more than 120,000 employee caregivers. Lori, first, welcome to the Tri-Cities, and thank you for taking the time to join us tonight.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be with you, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow morning. And it looks like a great setup and a wonderful cause that we will all join in supporting tomorrow. So thanks so much.
Now, you work in the field of philanthropy, which to a large degree is accepting the generosity of donors to our healthcare organizations. Maybe a little bit about your perspective on that, and it has to be very rewarding work.
You know what, it is, it's not a field that a lot of people even know about, that it's a career choice, but working in philanthropy, especially at Providence, has brought a lot of meaning to my life. I got to meet so many incredible people that want to work with us to make the world a better place. There's so many amazing physicians and caregivers that our donors want to support. Many of the gifts that we get actually come through grateful patients and families that really want to, you know, support the work, give back for the care that they've gotten, and get really excited about all the recent advancements and all the new things that are happening in healthcare. So, it's just been I've been with Providence now for 7 years. I get to travel all around and see all the various ministries that we call them, you know, the various hospitals. We have 42 foundations and just incredible work going on all across the West Coast in our Providence, Cadillac, Covenant, and Swedish Health, so a lot of our ministries.
Now, you're here, as you mentioned, for the Cancer Crushing Breakfast happening tomorrow morning over in Kennewick, and I know you have a personal connection to cancer.
I do. I think everybody has a personal connection to cancer, but I would say that mine is really personal. I always get choked up when people ask me how I'm doing, and I always say I'm doing great. And then I think, am I doing that great? I lost my husband 2.5 years ago to cancer. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer on Christmas Eve of 2018. He battled for 2 years, and he died October 11th of 2020. So during that time, I learned a lot. We had a lot of hope. Mike was, he was availed of several clinical trials that, philanthropy is able to sponsor a lot of research as well. So Mike qualified. These are hard to qualify for. He did qualify for a couple of them. And oftentimes these clinical trials come to people that really have no other hope. They cannot get better by the conventional methods. So I learned a lot. We both learned a lot, and we felt really supported. And, you know, I, more than anything now, I just don't want to see other people go through what I've had to go through. And the other message I hope we get out through all of this is just early detection. You know, if Mike would have known about his cancer earlier, we just don't know what would have happened. But he was like the typical man, didn't like to go to the doctor, all of those things. So if anything else can come out of this tomorrow, too, I just hope that people will go and get their screenings and just make sure that they're taking good care of themselves, because early detection saves lives as well.
Now, you mentioned the philanthropy, how it contributes to bettering our healthcare world, and certainly in the area of medications and treatments, especially for diseases like cancer is probably paramount in that area. But the scope that Providence serves, all of the Western United States, I mean, there are communities large and small and of all different kinds of diverse backgrounds. And from a philanthropic standpoint, why is it important for people to have that, I guess, that mindset in their minds now, especially at this time of our lives?
To give back? Is that the question?
Yes.
Or to be part of something greater. Yeah, I think the word philanthropy actually stands for lover of mankind. So It's that you really want to be part of something bigger than yourself. And I think, in healthcare today, our margins are incredibly small. And for us to get better and better, it's going to take philanthropy to give the latest research, to help us buy the new equipment, to improve our facilities, to actually provide scholarships so some of our caregivers can end up moving up the pipeline in the work effort, because we actually even have it's workforce development in healthcare is a paramount need right now. We just don't have enough doctors and nurses and CNAs and phlebotomists. So there are so many things that can be improved with philanthropy and with our communities getting involved. And what's really cool, I think, in the job that I've got is I get to go into all these different communities. I was actually at Walla Walla this morning, and then I was over at Catholic this afternoon. And just the pride that people have in their community hospital, and the physicians, the nurses that support them, and they want their community hospital to be the best hospital that they can possibly have. And that's going to take commitment from people in the community to make it better. So it's really exciting to see that the hospital is such a bedrock of each community that we're in as well. So I just saw that a lot today when I toured around and was so impressed with the facility there. And as you toured me, Jim, you were like, well, this was philanthropy. We raised this much for the children's wing. We raised this much for the emergency department, this much for heart. So, all of those programs are so much stronger because of this amazing community here in the Tri-Cities.
In your travels around all of the parts of Providence around the Western United States, certainly the pandemic has impacted everybody, and we're hopefully out of it. In fact, I think I was sharing 3 years ago today was the first patient that Cadillac had with COVID in the Tri-Cities, and who
That's
would have thought
amazing.
Three
yeah,
years
right.
later that where we would be. But I guess to that point you made about coming out of the pandemic, it certainly took a toll on the healthcare industry in particular, but certainly everybody, but healthcare really took a beating.
Yes, we did. I mean, partly I think we saw a lot of people retiring, nurses retiring, people wanting, just getting so burnt out. As we were talking this today, Jim, thinking about, the people in all the white hazmat suits and everything. I mean, just we kind of forget about that now, but we lost, a lot of our caregivers just wanted to go to a less stressful environment. And so we don't have enough nurses in the United States right now to care for all of the people that we need. So that's something that we need to be working on as a society, and just making those schools affordable and accessible to as many people that are eligible to getting in. But I think healthcare, supplies, all of our supplies management was just crushed. As you remember, we couldn't get all the PPE, and then everybody knows about supply chain issues. So a lot of things got a lot more expensive. And so it was just, it really was a perfect storm in healthcare of all so many things coming together. As well, we had so many patients that, we get paid a certain amount for each patient, and we can't increase our prices. If we do, we still get paid the same amount. We had a lot of patients that had nowhere to go. They needed to be discharged from the hospital, but there weren't beds available in the skilled nursing facility, or they didn't have someone to care for them at home. So we have a lot of patients which are called boarders. And so we lose money every single day on patients like that. So it was just, and we're not going to turn someone out. So it's just, Providence is committed to caring for the poor and vulnerable. We take in anyone, regardless of their ability to pay. And it's, that comes at a cost. So we definitely need to create a margin so we can continue to have the missions that we've always had for 160 years as a ministry. So, healthcare, it's a very expensive business to be in. The margins are small, and the need is so great. So I see that, you know, continuing to be an issue for us moving forward, and that's why philanthropy is so important. And one thing I want to just give a shout out to all the donors that we had last year. You know, last year was a really tough year in the market. Oftentimes we don't get as many donations when the stock market is topsy-turvy, and there were just a lot of things going on in the economy. And Providence overall, our foundations had the strongest year in the history of by far. So we raised a collective $359 million across all of our 42 foundations, and that money goes back into our hospitals, our clinics, to support the work that we do. So really proud of what Providence was able to do last year, and really, really proud and grateful to all of our amazing donors and board members that really tell the story and get people wanting to be involved with us.
Well, we're thrilled that you're joining us tomorrow for our breakfast, and we appreciate you making the trip to the Tri-Cities. And Lori Kelly, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We have to take our fourth break of the evening. We'll be back with more of Cadillac on Call right after this.
You're listening to Cadillac on Call on 610 KONA. This program is not a substitute for direct consultation with your own healthcare provider. Always consult your healthcare provider for your specific condition, especially if you have or suspect you may have a medical problem. Now back to Cadillac on Call. Here again, Jim Hall.
Welcome back to Cadillac on Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. And tonight we are showcasing the amazing work of caregivers at the Cadillac Tri-Cities Cancer Center. The expert caregivers who provide such compassionate care, plus the patient support made possible by donors to the Cancer Center's foundation. We are honored to have with us a woman whose family has a long cancer history, and one that continues today. Tricia Shelley Stevens is a multiple cancer survivor, and with her family operate a company called Mutant Printing with a branch called Snarky Cancer, and it all evolved around out of their cancer journey. And Trish, first of all, thank you for sharing your story with us today, and if you would, give us an overview of the cancer journey your family is on.
I am so honored to be asked to do this, so thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
So, yep, we have a long and sordid cancer history. I would say, you know, do you want the condensed version or do you want the miniseries?
Probably so, the condensed.
Okay. So I had my first cancer I had when I was 21 and pregnant. I had breast cancer, and then 7 months later I had breast cancer in the other breast. I've had a basal cell removed because of radiation, and then I currently live with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And then my son, he had his first, well, I would say he's been fighting cancer since before he was born, since I was pregnant, but he had his first cancer at 2. He had a rhabdomyosarcoma, and then we had a nice 19-year break, and then the last 8 years, he's been cancering nonstop, and yes, we use cancer as a verb. And he has had a leiomyosarcoma in his leg. He has had osteosarcoma twice in his jaw. And he currently is in treatment and living with metastatic leiomyosarcoma that had spread to his lungs.
Now,
so that is our families in a nutshell. We have a genetic condition called Li-Fermini syndrome. Mm-hmm. That is a mutation in the TP53 gene that makes us prone to growing tumors.
Good gosh. How did the T-shirt company come about? And it's and maybe share with our listeners the humor behind it, which with something that is so difficult.
Sure. So one of the things that well, those of us with Li-Fermini syndrome, we have a group and a nonprofit I helped found, and we call ourselves Mutants in Affection, right? And we used to always talk about that we needed a line of inappropriate cancer humor things because levity is one of our core values, and for a lot of us, humor is what gets us through, right? It's like laugh or cry, might as well laugh. And so so we always talked about doing that, but, you know, when you're dealing with lots of cancers and everybody has a job and all those things, sure. It just never happened. And in June of 2017, one of my close friends passed away from breast cancer, and her and I had like spreadsheets of hilarious sayings that we were always going to put on t-shirts. And that was kind of the kick in the butt for me to make this happen. And so I stewed on it through the summer. And in September, I, you know, came to my husband. And like I said, you know, I had a job, you know, he full-time job, all this. And I said, oh my gosh, Mike, I have this crazy idea that I want to start a screen printing company that makes hilarious t-shirts, and we're going to call it Snarky Cancer, and we're going to, you know, give 10% of our gross sales back to the cancer community. And, you know, we knew nothing about screen printing. Mike's a water treatment plant operator. I was a business manager for a chiropractic office, and but he's like, yep, I'm all in, right? That's so we great. Start YouTubing videos. We went to a class. I literally Googled how to design a t-shirt in Adobe Illustrator, and we, you know, got our screen printing equipment in November of 2017 and in our garage, and now we're in 3,500 square foot space.
and it's shirts, and you said a portion of the proceeds go to nonprofits, cancer organizations like our Cancer Center Foundation. But I just love the sentence that I wrote down from your webpage. We are a small family-run business with a goal of making cancer suck a little less. And so I know the humor. But you're obviously in demand. People want this stuff. They want it for their family members, right? And it's so very personal.
Yes. Well, and one of the things that we quickly realized when we had the screen printing was that we could do t-shirt fundraisers. And so that's actually the majority of our business through Snarky Cancer. Yes, we have lots of fun retail things. I have a hilarious line of cancer candles that go on our website and see them. They're so funny. But t-shirt fundraising is the biggest part of our business with Snarky Cancer. And we have the highest payout by far of any of the online fundraising platforms out there, because we are a cancer family and we get it. And that is what we love to do. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we have had a lot of help in our cancer and ongoing cancer journey. And this is our way to pay it forward. Mutant Printing also helps support that because we do a lot of business to business. And we print for schools and teams and things like that. And that really allows us to continue to have such a high payout for t-shirt fundraising back to cancer families and cancer nonprofits.
Well, what an incredible way to, you know, overcome and cope with an incredibly challenging situation. And what's your connection, I guess, how with the Cancer Center Foundation and the work that, that led you to basically get to where this amazingly innovative shirt business?
Well, gosh, okay. So, you know, I used to see Dr. Beto at the cancer center before Cadillac took that part of it over and he retired. And now Trey and I both see Dr. Gamboa.
Oh, sure.
And then when we moved out of our garage into our first retail space was when we very first got to work with Lori and Liz on one of the runs that, you know, you guys were doing the first time that we had to try to do it during COVID. That was more of a virtual thing and, you know, sending that out. But on a personal level, I mean, when Trey would be doing his infusions and, you know, sometimes he would come home with a meal or he'd come home with gift cards or he'd come home, you know, just with little tokens of support and love that the foundation does. And so, you know, we have felt personally those touches that the cancer, it makes me so emotional, sorry, that the Cancer Center Foundation, like, that they give to their patients. Like, they are so truly invested in not only the health physically, but the mental and spiritual health of the community that they serve and the patients that they serve. And, you know, it always is such a wonderful thing to see that in action, but our family's got to experience that personally. So it's really such a great honor for us to work so closely with them to bring all their t-shirt visions to life, you know.
Hey, I get to wear one of those shirts tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Snarky. Yay! Yeah.
Very snarky. No, they're very nice looking.
Yes.
Well, I just want to thank you for being so willing to share your story with us. I know it's not easy to do, and we appreciate you being so candid, and especially that what a great idea that you've done. We're happy for the success of that. And most importantly, we wish you and your son and all the good success in this treatment. I know it's not easy, and I'm sure it's a huge challenge, but we appreciate your generosity and your partnership.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for inviting me on and all that you guys do to, you know, keep those programs going. We are so appreciative of it.
Tricia Shelley Stevens, thanks so much. Back with more of Cadillac on Call right after this.
You're listening to Cadillac on Call on 610 KONA. This program provides general information only. Any comments or information presented are strictly for educational purposes. Cadillac and 610 KONA do not endorse any of the suggestions made by the presenter or callers. Now back to Cadillac on Call. Once again, Jim Hall.
Welcome back to Cadillac on Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. And local cancer care is the focus of our program today. In advance of a breakfast tomorrow morning to generate financial support for the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation. The Cancer Crushing Breakfast is happening tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. at the Convention Center in Kennewick. It's the 23rd year of this event. It's the first in-person gathering since the pandemic. And back to the phones we go now and introduce you to Jennifer Olero, the chair of the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation Board. And Jennifer volunteers countless of hours of support of cancer patients. She herself is a cancer survivor. And Jennifer, I'm guessing your personal experience is part of the reason why you were so passionate about serving the cancer center.
That's right. I had such a positive experience from the patient care and the compassion and the programs that were introduced to me, things I never thought of and didn't realize how important those support systems were going to be to me, to my family, that I was so moved that I wanted to reach back and volunteer in some capacity. So I got involved with the board.
Now you're on the board of directors, and I know that's extremely rewarding. You're chairing it right now, so clearly you're invested. But what does it mean for you to be able to give back after, probably especially after your personal cancer experience?
It's extremely rewarding. You know, a lot of us are in a position where we can give money, you know, small amounts, large amounts, and that's amazing. And I love that part, but I really love to get my hands dirty and really involve myself with the things that are going on at the Cancer Center, whether it's, you know, the opportunity to pass out patient meals, which is one of my favorite things, or going back to my days as a volunteer with the Warrior Sisterhood, you know, going and meeting and talking with the women that were going through chemotherapy, any patient going through chemotherapy, but that's who our focus was, and it's extremely rewarding.
And you've been doing it for a number of years as far as your role on the board, and I would assume, you know, that's what I think is so impressive of being in the Tri-Cities and around this type of healthcare community is certainly the expertise in the medical care is there, but the incredible, I guess, the non-clinical support that is provided to patients is just really, it's really heartwarming.
It is. And I'll tell you, at first it's a little scary. I'll be real honest. When I first joined the board, I was intimidated by, you know, my lack of medical knowledge. I know what I went through, but I wasn't sure what I could contribute. And the nice thing is the board is balanced in such a fantastic way that we all bring something to the table, whether it's our, you know, a unique leadership role or someone that's good with finances, or there's just so many roles you can play to be engaged, and it's time well spent. There's no regrets. I love going to the board meetings. I love every opportunity to get together with these folks and learn and spend time with the caregivers, because that, I think that has been one of an extremely important part of my journey with this board, is being engaged with the medical providers, which is something that helps us gauge where we need to put, you know, our efforts in our support at the Cancer Center.
And I know certainly for people listening and how they handle a cancer diagnosis, everyone's does it differently, and that's totally fine. But from your having been through it and being kind of this closer observer as a member of this board and helping out when you're able to help patients, what is it, personal satisfaction, do you get from seeing it when you're seeing these people in the midst of a chemotherapy or some sort of radiation treatment? But what do you get from them?
Well, you know, for me, I think what I take away from all of this is that what we're able to provide, and I mean holistically the Cancer Center, not just the foundation, and I'm speaking, you know, globally, what we're able to provide to a patient might be just something so that you think is so insignificant. Like, it could be a chemo hat, or it could be a chemo bag that in this grand scheme of things, it's like, okay, well, I'm getting chemotherapy. What do I need this for? But it's those little personal touches that just make it not as horrible as you think it might be. Now, I don't take away that the treatments can be very rough on the body, and every cancer story does not end with a happy ending, but knowing that you're able to just make a little bit of a difference in some way to that individual is worth it.
Now, tomorrow is the breakfast, the Cancer Crushing Breakfast, and I know it's an important event for you, but partially because of your personal connection to the event itself, but also your employer, I know, is heavily invested in this event and with the Cancer Center Foundation.
Yes, they have been such a huge supporter. I will tell you that when I, you know, we've transitioned, but some of the leadership is intact, and it's the same leadership that was there when I had cancer, and they were amazingly supportive of me. They've been amazingly supportive of other individuals in our company that have had to go through cancer and cancer treatment, and we've lost several people, but one touched us all pretty heavily, and it was Mike Wilson. And what they did for him was just incredible. And their continued support through their financial support, and not just that, they participate where they can as well, is amazing. So it's so rewarding to have HMIS be the title sponsor for this event. I'm just tickled over it.
So what's your sales pitch there, President Olero, Chair Olero from the board? We got the big breakfast tomorrow. What's your message for the folks?
my message is that, you know, if you get an opportunity to donate, it would be wonderful to have everybody that is listening in. You know, if we could get as many people in for breakfast tomorrow, that would be wonderful. But for those folks that are not able to make it, you know, take an opportunity if you can. Come visit, make a donation. This donation provides so much support to our patients. You know, we have the early detection, the survivorship, just the treatment, treatment that we've been able to provide, the equipment. I think we've got some pretty good films for the breakfast tomorrow that highlight a lot of our successes through donations to the Cancer Center. So make those donations. Get that wallet out. We love it.
Well, Jennifer Olero, Chair of the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation Board, the 23rd Cancer Crushing Breakfast happening tomorrow at the Convention Center. And I think Carrie Almquist, who is our event chair for that event, said there are some limited seats available. If people just want to show up and attend, they're more than welcome. Just go to the desk at the Convention Center. The event starts at 7:30 tomorrow. Jennifer, thanks for taking a minute with us tonight and for all that you do and to benefit cancer care in our community.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great evening. Appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Jennifer Olero, the chair of the Catholic Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation Board, and we have one more segment of our program left, and we'll talk about more on this wonderful topic of cancer support in our community. Do that right after this.
You're listening to Cadillac On Call on 610 KONA. This program is not a substitute for direct consultation with your own healthcare provider. Always consult your healthcare provider for your specific condition, especially if you have or suspect you may have a medical problem. Now back to Cadillac On Call. Here again, Jim Hall.
The 23rd annual Cancer Crushing Breakfast is being held tomorrow, benefiting the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation. And we have been spending our program tonight learning a lot of different components of cancer care and trying to take a little bit of an angle focused on the non-clinical support that is available and how it's supported. And it comes in the form of financial support from a lot of very generous people and companies and corporations in our community. And one of the people that is a real key component of our Cancer Center Foundation is Liz McLaughlin, who is the director of the foundations at Cadillac. And Liz, I know you've been a part of this for your entire career, coming up on 23 for this event, but I know you've been with the organization for, 15 years now, I think you said?
Yeah, 15 years.
So
yeah, it's been a wonderful organization to get to serve. It's really my pleasure, and getting to work alongside great people like you, Jim, makes it even better. So.
Well, you know, this event, I know the last 2 years it was in the creativity is amazing, and the movie theater component of it in lieu of being able to sit side by side due to the pandemic. But so this is going to be a special one tomorrow because it's kind of back to normal, if you will, from 3 years ago.
Yeah, we're back in person at the Three Rivers Convention Center. We're expecting about 600 guests tomorrow morning. And it really is our first time since 2019 that we've been able to gather together and really present an in-depth look at the great things that are going on in cancer care in our community.
And to that point, you know, we always talk about the incredible clinical care, the medical expertise and the technology that's available. But another key component is the support services, and certainly Tricia, who is benefiting us with these amazing T-shirts and who is enduring a cancer journey of her own, Jennifer, who just was on our program, Lori Kelly from our Providence Philanthropy leadership team talked about her personal story. And I guess that's what makes this so powerful, is that everyone, sadly, but I guess positively, has a cancer story to tell.
Yeah, it really touches everyone, and you know, in all different ways. I had an aunt the end of last year who was diagnosed with stage 4 high-grade lymphoma, and you know, had a lot of needs. And I think that's one of those places where foundations and philanthropy and donors and investments like this can really step in and help serve. You know, for my family, you know, we were a great beneficiary of a lot of that help, and even some of that help in the Tri-Cities, even though, you know, she lives in Southern Oregon, we were still able to access that support. And I think that without that, I think we would have really been lost. And, you know, now my aunt has no evidence of disease and has had an amazing and miraculous recovery. But I know that the support and the care that she received from amazing healthcare professionals, plus all of that extra help, made a huge difference in making that happen.
And if you've been around anyone in the midst of cancer treatment, it can be very debilitating. And I know, and Jennifer touched on it, it's just the difference, things such as, you know, a meal to take home after a day of treatment, or gift cards to buy coffee or buy food or whatever it might be. That's the extra added touch that I think must be unique in many ways to what we can see here in the Tri-Cities.
It's absolutely unique. We encounter so many people that do this amazing oncology work in other communities, and honestly, they say, I haven't found anything like this. I've never heard of, you know, an organization providing so much support. And that's really where our community steps in and makes that difference. I think one of the most impactful programs we started during the pandemic and continue to do occasionally with our patients is that the dine-in program and being able to hand patients a meal that they can take home and share with their family. That simple act of feeding people and working with our local restaurants to make that happen has just probably been one of the most appreciated and talked about and commented on programs, because it really does make a difference. You know, cancer treatment is definitely a marathon, and people can be in it, I mean, you talk to Tricia, sometimes for the rest of their lives. So just adding those extra elements of support, care, and encouragement, like a gift card to a restaurant, or, you know, a facial in our spa, or a satin pillowcase when they're losing their hair, all of those things just really make a big difference to patients and can help support their caregivers as well.
And relative to, you know, you touched on the word the Cadillac caregivers at the Cancer Center and the work that they do and all throughout the Cadillac system. But, you know, so much effort and community support, and rightfully so, goes toward the patients, and as it should. But I think there's another hidden byproduct, or one that's, you know, secondary, not less important, but secondary, and that's the caregivers themselves, the employees and that work in this healthcare space, recognizing the support that they are also getting from donors and community members.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when you make a gift to the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation, Cadillac Foundation, I mean, you're really saying to the people who work so hard to keep our community healthy that you support them, that you want them to feel supported, and that you're proud of the work that they do. We have this amazing social worker named Hector. I'm sure anybody out there probably who's met Hector would remember him. But even just giving Hector the items that he needs to then give to patients to help support them in their care, the joy that you see on his face, and that ability for him to be able to do his job and say, we got you taken care of because of these donations to the foundation. It's a real honor for us to be able to have the community's trust in that way and to be able to support those programs.
Well, I asked Jennifer to kind of give her, as only Jennifer can, sales pitch to donors, but about the breakfast tomorrow. But if people cannot make it and would like to support, if they've been touched by what they've heard tonight, would like to support the Cancer Center Foundation, I think they can do that online, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to tccancer.org. There's a Give a Donate Now Foundation button that you can click through to, and you'll see a little graphic for our breakfast, and you can make that gift. It all goes to help support our patients wherever the need arises. And it really does make a big difference. No matter the size of the gift, every single dollar we raise is important to a patient in need who's fighting cancer in our community.
Well, thank you, and thank you to your team. I want to give a shout-out to Carrie Almquist of our foundation staff, who is the point person on this event, but our entire team has been helping and involved in this, and it should be a really good event. We look forward to it. And, Liz, thanks for all the work you do, and we'll see you in the morning.
We will see you in the morning, and thank you, Jim. Take care.
All right. Liz McLaughlin with the Cadillac Tri-Cities Cancer Center, the director of the foundations at Cadillac, which include both the Cancer Center Foundation and the Tri-Cities Cancer Center Foundation. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We'll talk again next Wednesday night.